It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a great day it is to be serving the Lord. And it is a good life to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I'm excited today to be with you and sharing with you the Word of God. We're looking right now through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 6. Well, the last time we left off at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I want to recap that right now, just a little bit. Paul begins there in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 by saying, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, remember, we studied in chapter 5 where Paul ended that chapter by saying that sin abounded. But he also added that where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And now he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And his answer, of course, in verse 2 says, God forbid. No. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? We continue looking on at this verse. In verse 2, Paul asks the question, how shall we continue? And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins? And this is speaking of Jesus. In his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, now in verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, and the first part of verse 4, it says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. You see, we are identified with Christ in his death by baptism. Now, once again, baptism doesn't save anyone. It's just, it's water. But it's to identify us with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a testimony to our Lord. It's telling people that we have been saved, that just as Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected, this is what baptism represents when we go into that water. But I want you to notice something. The references to baptism in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 here clearly imply immersion, as no other mode would or could portray the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, this immersion also portrays the death of the believer to his old nature. Well, let me quickly add once again and remind you that baptism by water does not save anyone. Remember, Jesus is already speaking to people who are already saved. Paul is speaking to these people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. They're already saved. So he's saying that we are identified with Christ. We're letting the world know that we have been saved, that just as Jesus Christ was killed, he was hung on the cross, he died, he was buried, and he rose. And just as he did that, we are identifying ourselves with that death, burial, and resurrection. And the way we do that is by going down into the water and coming up out of the water. See, nowhere in scriptures does it tell us that when a person gets baptized, and I don't care what someone tries to tell you, the scriptures do not bear this out, that a person is saved by baptism. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that. Paul is not trying to tell us here that a person is saved by baptism. Remember, he's speaking to saved people. He's writing this to the church at Rome. Now look with me in verse 4. The remainder of this section of Scripture, and we'll go in through verse 7 here. It starts off in verse 4. It says, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and you see, there's baptism again. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. When we go down into the baptismal waters, what we're doing is identifying ourselves with Christ with his death, burial, and resurrection. And we're telling the world that we have died to sin, and we should walk in newness of life, and having been united together in the likeness of his death and resurrection, we are to recognize that we have been crucified with him, telling the world this, and are no longer slaves of sin, but freed from sin. Well, Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 9 say this, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." We have been saved. We have been raised with Christ from the dead. In God's sight, we are in Christ. And just as Christ gave his life for us, God sees us in the life of Christ. We are no longer our own at this point, and we'll see that more as we get over into the book of Romans here. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You see, he's carrying on the idea of not living for sin any longer, but living unto Jesus Christ, presenting our bodies living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service. We do that by trusting fully in Jesus to take care of us. We've already been saved according to the Scriptures, and we ask Jesus into our heart. And therefore, we are able to present our bodies living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service unto God. Nothing extraordinary. I mean, he doesn't ask us to kill ourselves or do that. It's our reasonable service. And I want you to notice something else here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. Now, we've already read that a dead person is set free from sin. When we recognize ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, or dead with Christ, then we're freed from sin. That doesn't mean that a person cannot sin. I'm talking about this body. As long as we're in this body, we have a problem. And that's the reason this body is going to die. The Bible tells us that this body is going to be changed, and when it is changed, we're going to be fashioned like our Lord. Well, the new body that we receive, that new body will not sin. But I'll have you to know this is a real person, myself and you, the new body. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, the real person cannot sin, because that is what goes to heaven, the body that God is going to give us. This body that we're in right now is not going to go to heaven. And Paul, once again, is taking us through the book of Romans. He's talking us through the book, and he's telling these people in the Church of Rome, the Christian church, that is, not the Catholic church, this is the Christian church that he's talking to here, that they are not to live in sin, not to look for sin, not to try to sin, not to give in to sin, but to do what God wants them to do and live unto him, that a sin would not reign or have control over the body. We know that we have problems in this life. And one day, thank God, this life will be over, and we will be with the Lord forever. We don't have to worry about the sin problem anymore when we're with the Lord. It will be taken care of completely for us as children of God. Now look with me in verses 8 through 14 of Romans chapter 6. Paul continues his idea about being dead with Christ. He says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." And verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." These verses are telling me in the beginning here that having died with Christ, we will live with him, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. First, we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." And that's a promise to us from our Heavenly Father, from Jesus, who gave his life for us, our Savior. Well, Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L, many of you know that name, Newell, wrote this. And he was a great preacher. Now, he was not great because he was a man. He was great because God lived through him. He proclaimed Jesus Christ. And I don't mean he was extraordinary. He was a human being like you and I, but he was a preacher of the word. And he was a man of God. And once again, when I say great, he was simply a human being. But God used him greatly in the work. And he says, Newell says, "This word shall also be living with him, must finally include doubtless the consummation of our salvation at the coming of Christ, and the fashioning anew of our mortal bodies." But the word refers directly to that expressed by Paul. It says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." See, when Jesus comes back for us, whether we meet him in the air at the rapture of the church, or whether we're alive and meet him in the air, or whether we've gone on, whether these bodies are in the ground, or whatever has taken place, whether we've died this physical death, Jesus says that one day sin is going to be eradicated completely from this ourselves. And until then, we are to submit unto God. We are to give ourselves wholly over to the Lord, to let him fashion us, to let him help us to realize that we have been crucified with Christ, but nevertheless we live, yet not ourselves, not myself, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is all in all. You need to trust Christ if you've never done so, and you can claim victory today if you will trust him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Ask him to save you today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.